give you my heart. Cause you're a sky full of stars. Cause you light up the path. I don't care.
Not that old, young, but I'm not that bold, and I don't think the world is sold. I feel alive.
Bluebirds fly.
lemon drops high above the chimney top. That's where you find me. Oh, somewhere over the rainbow, way up high. And the dream that you dare to, why, oh, why can't
everybody. This is Jerry. Trust the Lord will help me go through what he showed me beginning just about an hour ago, a little over an hour ago. So I do have kind of a download, and If you recall, Marianne said the other day she had a situation set rather than a date set. Well, that's kind of like what this is, and it's for virtually right now. There's some very interesting things that come out of this, and I have a confirmation for it, I'm sure, from the Lord, and I'm not completely sure I have it all, but it's definitely something to get into, and we'll see what he does as we go through this. I have had no preparation time, and other than to just kind of go over the information. So I'm going to try to take my time. I'm going to go through it, and this is one of those things where, you know, we might both need to listen to it afterwards to get all of it, me included. So I want to say hi to Chat. I have Faith and Judy and Rosemary and in the studio we have Judy who's called in and Alana and Pat. I'm going to go to everybody and see where everybody's at, see what you've got, then I'll start to get into it. Hi, Judy. And I'll go ahead and open Alana. Hi, Alana.
Hey, Jerry. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
I'm good. Where I'm at is really, really a single word. Now.
Yeah. I'm all about now.
It's floating up to the ceiling now. Okay. It really is.
That's right.
And dropping down step ladders for me now. It is more connecting with him now.
Right.
I can't quite explain that, you know, but it is less, you know, some angel chariot going to come for me at 4:35 a.m., you know, and it's less of that. It's an
right.
Insight. That's all I can say. That's what I want to contribute today.
Well, I know he's totally now with me, but I think we're all just in a little bit different circumstance, and he's pointed us at a conversation with Ben the other day, and it just prompted me to really consider that we share a very common spirit and a sense of family here. But if I think about every one of us individually, while there are similarities in some of our walks, which are uncanny, actually, there are also, we are not cookie-cutter replicas of each other by any means. We're a really, really diverse group, and I think he's got us, each one of us pointed in a little bit different direction. To me, it just seems like that's part of his concept with us, and so I know what you mean. There's a sense of urgency, there's an increasing sense of nearness to him that I've been going through for the last few weeks, but I have had also a lot in my environment to deal with, as I know a few others have, and he's in that too. I don't know how I would describe it, but just now with us, and actually Judy texted me something a while ago that seems to really reflect that also. I don't know. Maybe she'll have something to say about that later. I'm not sure. But anyway, now let me go ahead and get Pat on.
Yeah, hi, guys.
Pat, how are
you? Okay. Everything's restless tonight. Thinking about numbers, waking up to numbers. It just doesn't end.
I keep seeing 44, and what I have to talk about tonight relates to 44. So we'll see how everybody receives it. I know how he quickened me when I saw it today.
Yeah. Oh boy, yeah. Saw an angel last night. Like I got up at 2:50. So I don't know, a 2:44. What? Then it was 2:48, and just couldn't sleep all night, just thinking about stuff.
Wow.
Not anything in particular.
Wow.
Just feeling very not agitated, but alert. Like, you know,
yeah.
Just paying attention to him. You know, and
right.
I don't know. And then today I had a rest because I was so weary and laid down, and then I'm up again. You know, and
yep.
I don't know. I've got other people telling me some of my friends online. They said they just get real tired for no reason at all. Just totally wiped out, and then they recall
uh-huh.
it. So,
uh-huh.
somebody said it
yeah.
was chemtrails, but maybe it is. I don't know. Who knows what
yeah.
it is? Anyway, so
yeah.
Yeah,
that, or it might be just the Lord sharing Himself with her, with them.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
Something. Sure.
Yeah, it is. It is. It really is.
Jason sent us each his. Email about
yes.
84s, and I want
yes.
to get to that, but I don't have no idea how long it's going to take me to
oh, whatever.
Go
I'll
through
shut up.
This. So no. But what I'm saying is, I want to get to it, and I want to mention it. And if I don't get to it today, we'll get to it tomorrow. But
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure it's going to take a long time to do this because
mm-hmm.
I really have no idea. So
yeah.
we'll just see how it goes.
Right, Holy Spirit guide the ship.
Yeah, yeah. Here is Tana.
Hi, Tana.
Hi, everybody. I love you too. I love you all. I love everyone listening. I love you, Jesus. I had a dream. Again, a weird dream I have to share really quickly before I go to work, if that's coolio. Otherwise.
Sure, that's okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. It's me and, like, I want to say a few women, and it was kind of like we were holding a California RC, a West Coast RCC conference, like a gathering. We put this together, and all of these, there were two long, huge, long tables filled with RCC members. And I remember myself going up to each member, introducing myself, and finding out who they were, and giving them a big hug and welcoming them. And it didn't have to be the West Coast. Like, people could fly in, but it was an RCC conference. Like, people could fly in if they wanted to spend the money to all meet together. I want to say that Judy was there. I don't know. And I remember, so I was going around the table and meeting all these people, these RCC members, just loving on them, giving them love. And I want to say Faith was one of them. I want to say that I hugged Faith. I introduced myself to this woman, and she introduced herself as Faith. And so I want to say Faith was one of them. But I want to say Judy was there as well. Anyway, so it was interesting. So it was a group of RCC people, and we were just hugging each other, and then I made a comment about, yeah, just wait until we're glorified or something. So I don't know when it was happening. And then, so it was in this room and with these tables. It was like an RCC gathering conference. And then afterwards, it was ending, and one of the women was like, let's go. We went to this address, this house area, and it was like all vacant. We thought it was really quiet, and like this one woman was insistent on going there, and I didn't know why, and I'm kind of hesitant. And then, like, they're all going in trying to get in, and it turns out she was like, yeah, the movie company booked this house and said that they were using it. That's why we couldn't have our conference here, but no one's here, so they were lying to us or something like that. And then I looked in, like, this little garage area, and there were, like, some of the RCC members that had gone into the house with her just sitting there chatting, and they were in royal blue. It's like our color for our RCC was royal blue. You know, the boy and the man had some royal blue ties. The women had, like, royal blue other things on. so anyway, that was my dream. I don't know what it means, but that was my dream. But it was an RCC conference. And I was going around introducing myself and hugging everyone and finding out who they were. And this was like people that don't normally call in. Like, I don't think, I want to say, like, Faith and Judy were the only ones represented from our group. So it's like the people that we don't know about that are
right.
listening. I mean, it was all races, too. It was white, it was black, it was Asian, it was Latino. You know, all colors in our group. And it was
right.
pretty interesting. So, yeah. So anyway, that was my dream.
Very nice.
That is awesome.
that's cute.
Yeah.
Sweet.
It's coming.
Sweet.
It's definitely coming.
I was probably off baking pizza.
Very possibly. Very possibly.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know how to start. Let me tell you how I got into this. I mentioned a long time ago that I can't even remember at what sort of month time frame this was, but sometime in the last year, I have discussed that in the constellation Cancer, there is a star cluster which is named and well known to people who are sky watchers by the name of Praesep. It's an ancient name. I think it's based on the Greek. And anyway, what it means is manger. And this star cluster is virtually in the center of the constellation Cancer. And the Cancer, biblically, in God's way of looking at it, means sheep pen. So Cancer is the sheep pen, and within the sheep pen, there is a star cluster, Praesep, called the manger. Well, today I was looking at... Carol is right on time because I'm just about to talk about how Praesep is a manger, and it relates to Carol's away in the manger word that she got, and very powerful experience. And so here we go. I was looking at Solarium, looking at things. Oh, there's Raina.
Hi, Raina.
Hi, Raina.
Hi, Raina.
And, is that Raina? Not sure. Okay.
I love you all. Oh, off to work.
She dropped.
Okay, honey.
Okay.
Bye. Love
Bye,
you.
Tana. This is a, So I'm looking at this today, and hi, Raina.
Hi, Raina.
Hi. Instead of pressing the mute button, I said,
oh, okay. Oh. How are you?
I'm okay. I just have a headache, but it was a hard day. But everything is fine.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
Just
well,
confused.
Raina, I'm just. Yeah. Well, if it's just a headache, we're good. But and a lot of us are really in it right now, so we'll see. I'm hoping this thing.
Tell me, did Daddy say anything? Because, like, I missed the show for 2 days. What's going on?
I'm behind. Well, he showed me something just about an hour before the show started. And I'm going to try to go through it here. It relates to the Cancer constellation. And within the constellation of Cancer in the sky, there's a star cluster called Praesep, which is manger. And biblically, Cancer represents the sheep pen. And within the sheep pen, Praesep means manger. And so we have the manger within the sheep pen, which is, of course, fitting. And I was looking at Stellarium today, and I was considering timing, and I was noticing that the planet Venus goes right through this area of Praesep over the next day or two. And this cannot, I don't think, be a particular date, a one-date set, because it travels through there, you know, over the course of more than one day. And when I have gone back through history and tried to look at planet alignments and things that related to specific times, where events happen. My best observation is that a lot of times there can be about a 3-day variance between an alignment and when an event actually happens. And that's, so I have sort of this 4 or 5 day window that we're looking at, and we have started into that, I believe. There's some other things I'll get into here in just a second, but and all these things will connect. So I'm looking at the stellarium, and I see that the planet Venus goes right to the major. Well, I already knew and have considered, in a sense, that Venus, from God's point of view, could represent the bride. But it was a generic. It was a generic sort of perspective, and the only thing that I really knew was that Venus, even the symbol for the planet Venus, and let's just forget all the Roman and Greek gods and all that stuff. We're talking God's perspective here, and but nevertheless, the planet Venus does have a feminine designation. So I started looking into it, and something just the other day had me looking at Venus, maybe even yesterday. And it took me right back to the same page that I was on before. But here's what quickened me today, because when I went through and ran through the time and saw Venus go through this area within Cancer called Praesep, which is Latin for manger, I was reminded that this cluster, which is called the Beehive Cluster, also has a scientific designation of M44.
Oh, wow.
And when I saw that, and I watched the planet Venus
me, when cow have the wood, away in the manger.
That's right. Yep. And Carol's in chat. And we will see what she thinks about this too. That's right. It's exactly. And but the thing was, when I watched this, he really touched me deeply, and I just knew that it was pertinent. But before I went off too far on it, because things already started to pour out into my head and about it, and so I texted Judy, and I just said, I can't even remember what I said exactly, but basically I just said, I didn't even tell her what I was looking at. I just said, just ask God if I found what I think I found. And when she got back to me, she said, yeah, I think the answer is yes. And we went back and forth about it a little more, and it is the way he's responding. We can't, you know, he's not shouting. He's being quiet, but he's saying yes. So I don't know if I have it all or not, but I think you're going to find the things that I have to discuss interesting, and they're certainly eye-opening for me. Here we go. The planet, I'm going to read, first of all, and I think we'll try it this way first. The Beehive Cluster, the main thing about it is it's in the middle of the constellation Cancer. Its designation is M44, and I believe, and I continue to see 44, and I know since it started coming up, we know that it has other meanings. You know, the popular one to discuss is judgment. That it also, we have seen, Pat was led to a page where it indicated chosen one. And in fact, that is an appropriate description for everybody who is in Christ and the order, and because of him, through him, in the order of Melchizedek, which was discussed out of Hebrews, which I may still come back to someday. But so it's called the Beehive Cluster. It is manger, and its designation is M44, and it's in the constellation Cancer, and the planet Venus is approaching it as we speak. Now, let me describe some things to you very briefly about Venus. The planet Venus, I'm just going to read a few items out of Wikipedia page on planet Venus. Venus is the second planet from the Sun, orbiting it about every 224 days, 225. It has no natural satellite, meaning it has no moons. It is named after the Roman goddess of love and beauty. After the moon, it is the brightest natural object in the night sky, and this is the planet that is referred to typically both as the morning or the evening star, depending on. And it is always seen not too long before or after sunset, just like Mercury, because it is very near the Sun from our perspective. It is bright enough by itself to cast shadows. It is a planet, and unlike the large planets that are farther out, like Saturn and Uranus and Neptune, those are called gas giants. And it's considered that they may not have any solid surface within their arrangement. However, Venus does have a landmass. It's also, it is called sometimes Earth's sister planet because of its similar size, mass, and proximity to the Sun, because it's a relatively close orbit to Earth compared to some of the ones farther out. But it is very different from Earth in other respects. The atmosphere is very different. It has the hottest surface temperature of any planet in the solar system. And even though Mercury is closer to the Sun, by the way, because it has a very dense atmosphere, much more dense, like 92 times as dense as the Earth's atmosphere. And here is what it says. Venus's surface is a dry desertscape interspersed with slab-like rocks, periodically refreshed by volcanism. Basically, it appears to have a volcanic surface. Let's see if I can find another. It is often described as her sister or twin. Let's see if I can find. Anyway, if you look at a picture of Venus, you will see that it is, if you look at a picture of the surface, that it is a very kind of charred surface because it's extremely hot at the surface of the planet Venus. The pictures of Venus, of course, include the pictures of the atmosphere, and because the atmosphere is very dense, it can appear brighter, and in fact, it's almost like not really a milky white, but more like a buttermilky white. It's got thick sulfur dioxide clouds, and I think that it creates a translucency, which really absorbs and reflects the sun's, those are opposite terms, but really, it lights up, you know, it is filled with light as the sun hits it. However, sometimes the sun can hit it from the backside, in which case it looks very dark indeed. You can know where it is, and if you were to get out a telescope and look directly at it without looking at the sun, if it is between the sun and the earth, which happens, then it is kind of backlit from the sun, and Venus can appear very dark indeed. Now, what came to me, and I've never heard anybody do before or had any sense of this before myself today, but I began to realize, because I was thinking of Venus as a thing of the bride, I'm also thinking about the time of year. We're in June. The season of summer starts at solstice. We even talked about this yesterday, on the 21st. But in ancient times, they reckoned the solstice in a slightly different way. The way we do it now is what would be considered sort of a scientific approach. But in ancient times, biblical times, they would have designated the solstice about roughly 4 days earlier. So that would make it sort of around the 16th or the 17th. And in fact, this is recognized in the ENOC calendar, the way that it was put together. It actually, the ENOC calendar was used this reckoning to begin the start of the spring season, and it started on or about March 16th each year, rather than the 21st of March. So I'm thinking about this and Venus as the bride, and then I'm realizing that we're in the spring, and I know that one of the most powerful references to spring wedding, if you will, is in the Song of Solomon. And so then I started thinking about the bride. Well, the bride, when I've read descriptions, pause here occasionally because I do need to have to reference some things and go from one thing to the next. But the Song of Solomon, the bride, the woman describes herself in terms that are always seemed a little bit kind of unkind, a little bit overly negative, just in my reckoning. I mean, I know there's different ways, you know, to look at this, but I'm going to look at a couple of the verses out of Song of Solomon, and she says, it starts with kind of a refrain, and now, remember what I just said, that this is, I'm going to start here in verse 4 of chapter 1 of Song of Solomon. Now remember, I just said Cancer. I'm thinking of Venus, the planet Venus, and relating it to the woman in Song of Solomon. And I'm seeing it right now, and it's quickened when I'm watching it pass through the constellation Cancer, which means, which is basically sheep pen from the biblical godly perspective. And then manger is within Cancer. So this is verse 4 of Song of Solomon. Take me away with you, let us hurry. Let the king bring me into his chambers. The friends say, we rejoice and delight in you. We will praise your love more than wine. And she says, how right they are to adore you. Then she says of herself, dark am I, yet lovely, daughters of Jerusalem, dark like the tents of Kedar, and the word Kedar means dark, so dark like the tents of dark, like the tent curtains of Solomon. Do not stare at me because I am dark, because I am darkened by the sun. My mother's sons were angry with me and made me take care, and my mother's sons. Venus is the only major, the only full planet that has a female designation. All the other planets have masculine names. My mother's sons were angry with me and made me take care of the vineyards. My own vineyard I had to neglect. Tell me, you whom I love, where you graze your flock and where you rest your sheep at midday. Why should I be like a veiled woman beside the flocks of your friends? Friends, if you do not know, most beautiful women, or most beautiful of women, follow the tracks of the sheep and graze your young goats by the tents of the shepherds. Let's see if I can find a couple other phrases here. I think there are. Okay. Let me look on to the next chapter. You're getting the idea, and then I'm going to read some things about Venus here, a little more detail, and you'll see why this is fascinating to me. Although this is just supporting the basic point. So remember that in Song of Solomon, this woman who's described herself blackened by the sun, who's been made to tend the vineyards, which is basically the workout in the sun, like Venus is near the sun, and is deeply affected, is literally darkened by the sun with all the heat. And by all the sons of the mother, and the sons could represent the masculine names of the other planets. Okay, so let me go back to Venus, and I will have to scroll a little bit, but here's surface geology of Venus. Much of the Venusian surface appears to have been shaped by volcanic activity. Venus has several times as many volcanoes as Earth, and it has 167 large volcanoes that are over 100 kilometers across. It's not necessarily as active anyway. It's a relatively young surface, too. Because of the geology, it would indicate that all these surface features were formed in geological terms fairly recently. In other words, there's not a lot of impact craters on it. It's largely smooth but blackened by volcanic activity. It's very, very hot, extremely hot on the surface of Venus, the hottest planet in the solar system. It's going to take me a minute. There are a couple of things mentioned here that I know are in other sections, but I don't think it's in this section. And if you observe Venus closely, like in a telescope, you will see that it actually has, because of its relationship to the sun, much like the moon, it has phases. It goes all through phases. I just looked at the end of the letters to the churches in Revelation. Jesus declares that if you endure, I will give you the bright morning, or I will give you the morning star. But if you look at the root word, or not even the root word, the root meaning of those words, what he's really saying, the morning star is an indication of the fourth watch. And the fourth watch, it's the fourth watch because you see the planet Venus above the horizon before sunrise, because it's close to the sun, but it is in the hours, generally speaking, from about 3 to 6, which constitutes the fourth watch. So Venus is a direct representation also of the fourth watch in the verse of the church of Laodiceans. It can also be the evening star or the morning star, depending on its relationship to Earth and the sun. Transits nationally. I didn't read this. Okay, so I'm going through the sermon. There are pictures of the surface from various space missions, landers and things. And I am sorry, I'm having to scroll through this, but I think you'll find that it's worth it. Okay. In culture, throughout history and cultures, the planet has been of remarkable importance as a special object of observation, reflection, and projection. Popular beliefs and observations resulted in different, in part similar patterns in mythology as well as phenomenological descriptions, if I want a word. As attributions and depictions, for example, in astrology, such as developments in manifestation, so the next part of it goes right directly into this. Etymology, the adjective Venusian is commonly used for items related to Venus. It is the only planet in the solar system that is named after a female figure. There are other moons and smaller objects, planetoids, but not full planets that have female or feminine gender names. The symbol of Venus is the same as that used in biology for the female sex. A circle with a small cross beneath, the Venus symbol also represents femininity, and in Western alchemy stood for the metal copper. And then it says polished copper has been used for mirrors in antiquity and therefore can be understood to be have a reference to the mirror and a goddess, and so on. Somewhere in here is a very interesting description of the geological features of on the surface of Venus and how they have been named. And I found this also very interesting. Where should be it right here? So it's how they measured it. And I did read it just before the show, but like I said, I didn't have a chance to really prepare this at all. But he said, go ahead. So here we are. Search. This Venus, many of these characteristics on the surface of Venus, they have also, once again, feminine names. And there's one exception, which is a large, let's see if I think I've got it right. Here we go. About 80% of the Venusian surface is covered by smooth volcanic plains, consisting of 70% plains with wrinkle ridges and 10% blah, blah, blah. Anyway, not a lot. The northern continent, there are basically two continents that are discernible in these relatively smooth areas on the surface of the planet. And one is called Ishtar, or Ishtar Terra. Now remember, Ishtar, while we associate that with the pagan gods, it is also the same as the name of Esther. And that is basically the name that Esther was given by Mordecai in Babylon. Or anyway, she adopted that name. Then it says the southern continent is called Aphrodite. Somewhere I read something else here. It says most of the Venusian surface features are named after historical and mythological women. Anyway, the point is, this is very feminine, and I really think there's something here about linking this woman from the Song of Solomon. It is a clue. So here we are. And we have this planet Venus that bears some of the characteristics, and it really seems like these verses in Song of Solomon could even be a little bit of a clue to the characteristics of Venus, of the planet Venus. And so I'm going to go over those one more time. Take me away with you, let us hurry. This is verse 4. Let the king bring me into his chambers. Friends, we rejoice and delight in you. We will praise your love more than wine. See how right they are to adore you. Dark am I, yet lovely, daughters of Jerusalem, dark like the tent of Kedar, which also means dark, 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 like the tent curtains of Solomon. Do not stare at me because I am dark, because I am darkened by the sun. What a perfect description of Zenith, especially from a human perspective on Earth. My mother's sons were angry with me and made me take care of the minions. All the planets have masculine names except, tell me, you whom I love, where you graze your flock and where you rest your sheep at midday. Why should I be like a veiled woman beside the flocks of your friends? Friends, do you not know most beautiful women follow the tracks of the sheep and graze your young goats by the tents of the shepherds? There's other things going on there, but the point is, as far as I'm concerned, there are some very tantalizing clues here, and I can't go into a lot of this, but even Psalm 23, there is an entirely planet and constellation-oriented description of Psalm 23, and I figured out most of it, but there are allusions to these signs in the heavens in Revelation and in many more places throughout Scripture than we realize. And this, I think, is one that he has led me to today. So back to the matter of the moment, and that is, what in the world is Venus doing right now, and what does it mean to us? Well, Venus is currently entering the constellation of Cancer, and it's actually well into the constellation of Cancer, but it's approaching by the way, when I open this up, Solarium, when you open it, has a running clock. It just typically opens at whatever time of day it is in your location, and basically it uses the clock on your computer. So I had no idea with this. I was not thinking about it at all at the time. But because it runs, sometimes it irritates me if I leave it open for a long time and it runs, runs several minutes past where I was looking at. And so a lot of times I'll go and just pause it. So I started looking at it. I scrolled down. I paused the timeline in Stellarium, looking at the star charts and things. And I looked up and realized just before the show that the time I had topped it was 44 minutes into the hour. So this Praesep, this major, is designated N44, this Beehive Cluster. It's very well known. It is just visible with the unaided eye in the night sky. So if you're in a darker part of the sky or in a darker part of the world where there's less light, you can see it at night. But this planet Venus goes right into it. Right now, where am I? Should be 20, right about now. About a minute to call in if you haven't yet. I think we do. It will be, in fact, it is approaching right now, entering this Beehive Cluster. And by tomorrow, it will be well into it at this time. And by the day after tomorrow, on the 13th, it will be still in the constellation Cancer, but out of the manger. And so if I take this plus my three-day reference, which is just something that's evolved about a year, no, 2 years ago now, more than 2 years ago, he put for about 3 months, he had me intensely, not even 3 months, about a month and a half, he had me intensely looking at planet star alignments and specific points in time, and to begin to discern both a little bit of history as well as understanding how he has aligned certain events with these things. And it's a God thing, okay? It's totally a God thing. And what I'm saying is, in my general experience, you have about a 3 or so day window. So if you take the 13th, when Venus moves out of the major, and you add about 3 days to it, you get about 3 weeks. Let's call it through the 16th. So today is the 11th through the 16th, about a 5 day window where I think it's highly possible he's going to do something here that. And I'm hoping he's going to take us out of here. And he certainly gave me a really hard to. It was, when I saw this afternoon, I guess it was just annoying, but it was very heartfelt, sentimental knowing. It was not just kind of a buzz or anything like that. It was very, noticeable and touching. And so I do think we're in a time here that he's defining. Now, I think right now what I'm going to do is discuss a little bit more of the bigger picture about some of the things that are going to be happening around this general area of the sky over the next month or so. By the way, let me open up. I've got Carol on the line. Hi, Carol. And Faye on the line.
Go ahead.
Hi, hi, Carol. And Faith is on the line now. And,
hey, everyone. Hi, honey.
And does anybody have any questions about that, or you know, is anybody seeing? Because I'm sitting here staring at something that's speaking to me. I've got a picture in front of my face.
Okay.
And so it may be different for somebody who's not staring at this. So I'm just asking.
Well, Gary,
yes.
I have something to add or share and confirm and all of that. I'll have had in a ball. I couldn't get on earlier, and when I got on, I heard you talking about consolation, and I heard you talk about away in a manger. Now this is, and then in a little bit you were talking about the Song of Solomon, and I'm
right.
Like, okay, Lord, you are really, really flirting with me today. Let me tell you, I was walking in the store, and I was a little bit frustrated, like everybody is, with waiting. You know, when I know it's like now and soon, and everybody's talking about everywhere you turn, everybody's, even the non-believers, they're on pins and needles, because unless they're super blind or super into the world, they're starting to realize that something big is going to happen, whether it's, you know, the one world government, or, you know, the Bilderbergers having their meeting this week, whatever.
Right.
Okay. So I'm walking into the store, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm actually saying to the Lord, I know that you really spoke to me when in 2005, and I sent everybody an email, so check your boxes, okay? It's basically what I'm going to share, but with more detail. So I'm telling the Lord, I know that in 2005, when you had me, when I was watching the funeral to Pope Paul John II, I leaped out of my chair, and I said these words, I now know we are really, really living in the last days. I had this strong revelation that prophecy was coming to pass right before my eyes as I watched this, circus, on TV. Okay, and at that point, from that point on, I really started digging into everything I could get my hands on regarding the rapture, the second coming, where we were, you know, in the Lord's time frame, anything and everything. I was just super hungry for the Lord to return. And that began part of my quest just leaving everything behind and talking only about the Lord's imminent return. Okay, fast forward a few years back, 2013, I'm a little bit, frustrated again, discouraged, whatever you want to call it, worn out.
Rapture.
And in July.
Rapture-centric.
Yeah. And then in July, around 28th, I have the dream vision where I see the word away in a manger, right? So now I'm telling the Lord those two things. I know that you spoke to me that we were living in the very last days back in 2005. And again, when you gave me that vision, that dream with the word away in a manger, I'm telling him this today as I'm walking in the store with him. Okay. And
wow.
So then I get home, and I remembered that I had forgotten to check. There's a form that is posted once a week called the Five Doves. I don't know if any of you all have ever been on it. And by the way, Jerry,
Please tell me that your last name is not Almond. Is your last name Almond?
No, it is not. And the funny thing is, a friend of mine had a friend whose name was that. And I have met him, and this goes a long time before Five Rub, but I think I might actually know that guy.
Jerry Altman? You might know him?
Maybe. Yeah, not recently.
Wow. Well, anyway.
But I think I may have met him.
Wow. Well, let me tell you. So I'm going through some of the posts, and I'm reading them, and there's one post, and it's called "We're Going Home." We're going home soon. And then again, and then the following one is "We Really Are Going Home," and it's by him. Both of them are by him. But as I'm reading the second one, you know that he's talking about the Song of Solomon in it. And here I turn, you know, when I finally, you know, get onto, to the Blog Talk Radio, you're talking about Away in a Manger, the constellation, and the Song of Solomon. And I'm just like flabbergasted, because if that isn't a real flirt, I don't know what is. And we really are, you know, he describes the season we're in, which, you know, we have been going over this over and over from time to time, that when we're looking at the time frame, the barley feast, you know, and the Lord returns for his bride in the springtime. Well, we're still in the springtime until June 21st. June 21st is when summer begins. So, you know, the Lord just really, I just want to let everybody know that the Lord really flirted with me and uplifted me and gave me encouragement by confirming, this conversation I had with him. And, you know, then I come home and I'm reading, it's a great post. You guys have to read it. I hope you all take the time to read it. It's a great post. And, you know, he mentions, you know, he doesn't talk about, like, the translation and the rapture, but he talks about the rapture and the second rapture, which will happen, which he believes is going to happen, you know, in September. And it's like, wow, this is just so incredibly awesome. So I guess I just want to say that, you know, I know that I've just been in a doldrum, not a doldrum really, but, you know, on the one hand, I look around and think, wow, can the world just get any worse? And you know, there's so many people that are like walking zombies. They're just, you know, they're in the matrix of the world and just stuck in it. And then there's another group of believers, but they're asleep. They're lukewarm. They, you know, they pray. They I guess love the Lord. They believe in God. They go to church, but they're not interested in his imminent return. And then we have the bride, and the bride is just so special to the Lord, and the Lord wants us. And I keep, he gave me a little bit of an insight. I think it was the Lord. Sometimes, you know, I have to say one thing. I ask the Lord a lot to give me confirmation it is his voice I am hearing, because sometimes I wonder if it's not my own voice that I'm hearing, and I get it, and I'm thinking it's the Lord, or if it's Satan talking. You know, sometimes we think, oh, the devil is trying to bring me down. Well, he might be, but we're also human, and we're in the, you know, we have the choice to choose the Lord, to choose life, to choose love,
always into darkness and depression and, you know, the, and go to our own pity party. So, you know, I want to be, I want to walk in the Spirit, live by the Spirit, be guided by His Spirit, and just be in the Spirit, worship in the Spirit, right? Okay. So,
we've got a couple other things that I want to get into here a little bit.
Okay.
That kind of relate. One thing I just, while you were, and I appreciate your testimony because it's clear He had you primed and ready and basically totally aligned with what He showed me here in the last couple hours. And so that is also a very nice confirmation just in general of His working. You know, I know sometimes as a side note, I think I mentioned this before, you know, pretty much I'm not concerned. Every once in a while, you know, the devil will get in and try to put a bug in my ear. But I struggled with that. I won't even say I struggled with it. I wondered about it years ago more than I do now. But now one of the things that I really watch out for is I know He's with me, and if I talk to Him about things, I mean, almost – you know, most things I get pretty direct, straight answers to. And sometimes He speaks really, really quietly. And if I ask the same question many times, He will get tired of me asking it. He'll start giving me either a different answer or the answer I want to hear. And I have to be very careful to, and I'm not, I'm just saying, in my experience, I have learned I need to be careful to try to get myself set aside enough that I, you know, whatever that takes, everybody's different. But, you know, I ask Him a question and, you know, I try to really remember the first answer He gives me, because even if I ask Him to clarify, you know, sometimes I don't feel like I'm getting the same answer, in which case there's, you know, it's a matter of working through it with Him, maybe asking a couple more questions. But if I ask basically the same question over and over, sooner or later He's basically going to just start telling me what I want to hear because I didn't accept the first answer He gave me. And so there's some kind of a working relationship there where it's necessary to respect what He tells you the first time and or the first couple of times. I mean, because I ask lots of questions more than once because, you know, I'm asking about things that seem important. So, you know, I want to be sure, but at the same time, you know, if I get the same answer twice, the first two times, I know that I need to show respect there a little bit. Just, you know, not like a fearful respect, but just a respect that He's given me the answer and to let that rest for a while. And even if I don't understand it or it makes me uncomfortable, I just know that I should let that sit for a little while and then maybe I can go back to Him later and He'll understand. Anyway, that's a sidebar. What I realized while you were talking about your experiences about this, Carol, and away in the manger and everything, was I just took myself right through the math that led straight to the day that I was referencing as the ancient beginning of spring. And I because I hadn't done all this in every phase, so what I did was I just, so I'm sort of, this is like a review here real, very quickly, but, you know, I ran and watched Venus proceed through this star cluster called the Manger in Cancer, and I, when the day that it comes out of that is the 13th of June, and I said, generally, my experience of looking at these things and comparing to events that we know when they happened, or events when we might be interested in it, but certain events when we know that they've happened, and I've gone back and looked and to see what was happening with the planets and things and the stars and so on. And this, by the way, Atana dropped off to go to work, but I'm wondering if this could be her alignment thing because she had that dream about alignment. You know, there was an alignment, and then we knew it was time to go. And so what I'm saying is this happens on the 13th when the planet moves out of the manger. And in my experience of tracking these things down over the few years, there can often be up to about a 3-day window. Well, if you add 3 days to the 13th, you come to the 16th, and that would be the ancient, roughly, give or take a day, that's going to be the ancient solstice, the way they measured it, because they measured it by equal amounts of daylight and sunlight, I mean, nighttime and daytime. So on the, they considered the solstice in their location to be when there was equal amounts of nighttime and daytime. If you go to the 21st, the way we do now, it is already past that point on the calendar. And it's just, it's more of a scientific alignment thing, and it isn't actually what we experience here on Earth. There's about a 4 or 5 day offset. So I realize I... So anyway, so we're looking through about the 16th. Now, there have been some other things that have come up. One of the things, of course, is that tomorrow's the 12th, and by the time we get to the show tomorrow, we'll be well through the 12th, almost, well, in other parts of the world, quite a bit part of the world, another half of the world would be the 13th. Well, the 12th, the number 12 came out to me a couple of interesting ways. One was... that yesterday when Pat mentioned her 84-84, I was led to say, well, let's see, if you add 8 and 4 together, you get a 12, and another 8 and 4 together, you get a 12. And then Jason in this email, which I don't forget to or not, but he actually mentioned 12 also. And here's the irony. Now, I have often pointed out that there is like a cycle kind of mocking in the spiritual realm. You know, God chastised Satan, punished him for his, you know, basically Satan, Lucifer disrespected God and rebelled. God punished him and cast him, out of his permanent heavenly home. Then God created man to replace Satan. So Satan mocks man. But then God takes man and through his efforts, he actually mocks Satan. So while Satan's mocking us, God mocks Satan. And a lot of times he does it through us. Well, we talked about the other day that the Triple Crown, the final race, was I think it was sixth. So that was considered to be June 6th, and they said, well, okay, 2015, the 15 represents the 6th. So 666, when American Pharaoh won the Triple Crown. Well, guess what? God might take his bride on 612, and of course 12 is comprised of two sixes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I get a strong feeling for 12. I do.
And I know, I remember you mentioned that. So 12 would be the optimum day for Venus to be in the manger, is the way I can see
wow.
things. Wow. What I have to look at. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So
wow.
I'm very interested in this. I like the fact that I'm seeing strong connections between the planet Venus and the Song of Solomon. And the other thing, of course, the Song of Solomon, it indicates a wedding before the end of spring.
Right.
The spring ends on the 16th.
Right.
And here we are looking at Venus. Now, Venus will often be somewhere in this part of the sky because Venus is never very far from the sun, and the sun is, at the moment, actually leaving Taurus and conjuncting with Mars. But anyway, it'll go through Gemini. But the point is, on this particular year, we have an exact situation which is very compelling, not only to the Song of Solomon, but also the solstice, and also, anyway, this is what he showed me today. Now, the other thing I want to just mention in briefly, because I haven't gotten into this, but I have known actually for more than a year that this is a very interesting time in this part of the heavens for some of the planets to do some very interesting things. As the next month or so will proceed, we're going to see, I'm not going to go into too much detail, it's just so you get the basic idea of all of the things that are kind of happening with the planets and the stars. Right now, as we speak, and in fact, about the 14th, the Mars and the Sun will be in a very tight conjunction, leaving Taurus. They'll be headed to Gemini. And as we go through June, Venus will conjunct with Jupiter about the 30th. And so Jupiter is the king planet, represents God or Christ. And this is leaving Cancer and going into Leo. And, of course, Leo represents Christ, Lion, Tribe of Judah, and so on. It is also considered to be the end in the ancient Hebraic perspective. Leo is the end of the circle of constellations. It begins with Virgo, and it goes all the way around to Leo. And so Leo is a very prominent sign, and it also represents an endpoint, which we might think in our current setting today of the coming of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. So as we also go past here, right almost exactly a month from today, in July, in the 12th and the 13th, there are going to be two or three at least comets in the solar system this year, which I think are going to become visible based on the things that I've seen, the projections people have made. And they're recently discovered comets. There's one called C2014Q1, which is called Pan-STARRS from the observatory where they discovered it. It will also go almost exactly a month to the day through this major feature, star cluster in Cancer. It is coming sort of out of nowhere from the north, and it will proceed over the course of a few days down to the south half of the, past the ecliptic, which is like the equator of the solar system as we see it. And it crosses that path, and it conjuncts with the moon. In fact, depending on the direction of its tail, the moon might even be cutting it off on about the 17th of July. And something else is happening at this time that's really significant. Venus, in the course of the next month, will go through Cancer, conjunct with Jupiter. It will move forward, but it is dropping at this time. And right about the 4th of July, interesting day, it drops below the ecliptic and then rapidly drops in our point of view relative to the constellations and everything else. It rapidly drops and parts away, and its bottom point, and it starts to what they call retrograde, and go backwards in our perspective. At the same time, Mercury, by the 7th of August, is conjuncting with Jupiter right at the star Regulus, which is the primary star of the constellation Leo. Mm-hmm. By now, the Sun has moved into Cancer and is headed towards Leo itself. So what I'm saying is there are some very significant, if you were a magi, probably in Babylon, watching these events, I'm pretty sure you would say this is really significant. Now, I can't tell you as much about this as they would have been able to. However, what I see here, I think particularly knowing the times that we're in, is quite significant. This is no mistake. This is not an accident. This is clearly a God thing. And even if we cannot tie events in the heavens to a particular day, all of these things have taken place by the middle of August that I just described. And with the exception of the Sun being at Regulus and Leo, which happens later. Actually, it happens later. But the point is, there's actually a lot of things happening in the sky, in the planets and the stars, which God gave for times and seasons He clearly told us that. And this is what I'm saying. I have to believe that this is a very powerful sign. And I would say it looks to me like a confirmation that the bride could well be taken before, at the very least, the summer solstice, as we normally would call it, but I believe by the 16th or the 17th, as they would have seen it in ancient times. Now, we know, we've had a lot of experience at this point with date sets and other things, and, you know, this may just be another jackass moment. I don't know. I just know you touched me deeply. I know you touched me deeply. I know that when this happened, I don't want to overstate it. You didn't like, you know, I didn't fall out on the floor and whatever, but, I mean, he really quickened me in a very tender way, and I'm going to call it a reassuring way, but it was just a heartfelt way. Maybe that's the best way to put it. And it was not just a kind of a zap. It was something more personal. And so Faith is saying way better than you're, obviously. Yeah, there's no... I don't have an August. I have a July date. But that's okay, because this supersedes that by quite a bit, and I really think that this, if we get there, we get there, but this is something he did today. I'm sure he told me to go ahead and share this today, and that's why I didn't take the time to have it pulled together a little bit better. I will look at this a little more and see if I find anything else. I'm sure that this is the kind of thing that maybe you might want to listen to again to get a couple of details that I did share, and I'll see if there's anything else out there. But we're right in that time, and we'll know in a few days, and I don't feel we're really obligated to go over and dig out every garage detail. I would be interested when Tana gets to hear this, to see if there's anything in the alignment dream, the planet alignment dream that she had, and see if there's anything that touches her spirit that way. Maybe one of the reasons that he really hasn't had me looking forward very much is so he can deliver moments like this. And he certainly did one today. I know Judy felt like God was in it, and she got confirmation on it, and that it was something he definitely wanted me to see. And I don't often, in the last couple of days I have two or three times, but generally I have very rarely asked Judy if there's just a few times if there was something that that I was experiencing that I wanted a confirmation on. Today, I knew it was the first thing I had to do before I got into, and then when I started to get into some of this detail, I began to really see some of these very intriguing parallels between Venus and the woman, the bride in Song of Solomon. So very encouraged by all of this. And this time period would go basically through about the 16th, or at the very most, the 21st. But in my opinion, it would go, a better thing would be through the 16th. Still, it's powerful encouragement. He may give us more on it. I don't know. Maybe there's somebody out there in our group who's not on listening right now, but who may hear it later and have something to share, very much like Carol did, where it was right on the mark of what she's been discussing and thinking about. So, Away in the Manger, Away in the Manger, Summer Solstice, Son of Solomon, Planet Venus, the manger in the sheep pen of Cancer called Precept, Beehive Cluster. So there's something in this. And there is the occult, by the way, means hidden, and I'm saying that because I'm going to use the word occult. I know, and Jonathan Kleck has pointed this out over the last many months, and I have seen elsewhere, that either bees or beehives feature in some of the occult symbolism we see in some of the leadership structures of the world. We can't know what they think that means, but if I were going to use that symbol as of today, I know what, for sure, what I think it would mean to me. So,
yeah.
So that's
wow.
It's so it's a
work
if,
out
you
here.
Know, if, yeah. So I'm. Mm. See how it fits. See what you think about it.
We'll see.
Is, very intriguing to me today.
Yeah.
And I did not go looking for it.
No.
It found me. It totally found me.
Wow, that's cool.
That's right.
Cool. Wow, he's with us.
Very much.
We got to stay with him.
Very much.
Through it all. No matter what.
So I think what
yeah,
I'm going to say.
844.
Oh, gosh. I have 33, Pat. You have
44? Oh, I have. You know what? There's something on the computer that came up. Oh, it just stopped.
Wow.
It's something. Oh, it just came. I have 9:33, and then it was 8:44.
Yeah, exactly.
Where
wow.
the thing? Oh my gosh! I
wow.
thought I was.
Wow.
I was gonna say it couldn't be 8:44. We've been on the phone.
Yep.
He doesn't stop. He does not stop. Love it.
Yep.
Oh my goodness.
Well, so I think what I want to do is just ask if anybody has something that they want to share. You know, we're already here, and I've done a lot of talking, so I don't want to.
Oh, no, that's all right.
If somebody has anything.
I was going to read some of James, but I can do it tomorrow. It's getting late.
Okay.
I just had
okay.
the book of James. Really, really, really good. Very instructive
okay.
and peaceful. But another time, you know,
okay.
I think we're all
okay.
kind of tired.
Yeah.
And
boy, this. That was great sharing, Jerry.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Very,
yeah.
Very timely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all coming together.
Mm-hmm.
It's all coming together. Oh, my goodness.
Well,
yeah.
it needs to.
My goodness.
And I think maybe now the Lord is really going to start speeding things up. For us. For us.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Sounds good.
yeah, I hear you. Yeah. I certainly hope so. I just know he's doing things, and I mean, things are happening that haven't happened before that seem like very significant signs of change, and I hope it's going to change we're looking for. I mean, I know God's going to God.
Yeah.
I'm not concerned about that, but I'm totally totally into the sense that he is. Moving things in our immediate circumstances forward.
Yeah.
In many cases, in the midst, of some of the probably some of the deepest challenges that we're feeling, either feeling, experiencing, or what have you, that we have been doing. And so I know he's moved some things forward around me. I'm accepting it, and while I do have a few questions about it, it doesn't matter. God's pretty much made it clear to me that he's taking it into his hands now, and I am going to embrace the positive. I'm going to embrace the relief from certain aspects of the task that he's had me on recently, and then as I'm done that today, this is the next thing that happens in terms of my RCC walk. So I don't want to make it about me, but I just want to say what I'm experiencing, I've seen other people go through not too long after me in the last few months, some kind of a positive change and what have you. So I'm just saying that it is my expectation based on things over the last few months that several of us are going to have something like that. And if it's not the ultimate goal, it's going to be another big step in that direction. So,
yeah.
Be encouraged. I am very encouraged. I still things to be done. I still have a lot of care for those of us who are in very difficult circumstances. But at the same time, I believe he's giving signs of encouragement. So, praise God.
Yeah.
I hope everybody has that resource as well as the challenges that we face. Praise God. You know, I started the show with a couple of songs that were about stars. And I had one or two sky songs. There's several other sky songs or, you know, I'll Fly Away and things like that. But really, I guess I'm just not quite in the mood to go there right now. Not because I'm in the mood to go. Get me wrong. I'm more in the... tomorrow I will consider possibly doing more sky songs, but I think today I kind of feel like going with a classic and a little sort of the most standard that I know of all praise songs, celebrated by people who don't even understand that they're praising God when they sing it. And that is the Hallelujah Chorus.
Which is
Handel's Messiah, number 44.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, good. You can't get away from it. You can't get away. Don't even try.
Yeah. So, by the way, Carol, the one thing that I think you might have missed that I didn't repeat was this beehive cluster called Praesleft the Manger. One of its scientific designations is M44. If you just type M44 in a Google search, it'll bring up Praesleft beehive cluster right away.
Really?
Praesleft.
Wow.
Yes. And the word Praesleft means manger. Correct.
Oh wow.
It is named manger.
There you go.
So, Handel's Messiah, praise God. Spirit of the Bride says,
Come.
Come, Lord.
Come, Lord.
You're running out of spring, but we thank you for your encouragement, and we believe it.
Mm-hmm.
We believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Oh, this is lovely.
Be in the air.
I love it.
Okay,
I love it.
Gotcha.
You.
Hallelujah.